Welcome to the Arendt Podcast Luxembourg, our podcast channel that explores the latest legal, regulatory, and market updates in Luxembourg and beyond. Discover our podcast series, all about private debt, and listen to what our experts and guest speakers have to say about the latest trends, opportunities, and challenges in the private debt market.
So hello everyone, and welcome to this new edition of the Arendt Private Debt Funds podcast series. My name is Adrian Aldinger, and I am thrilled to have Biljana Kucheva with me here today from MV Credit. And we're going to chat a little bit today about the most recent developments in the private debt space, and specifically what you and your organization are seeing and what is keeping you busy. So, Biljana.
Thank you for the invitation, Adrian, giving the opportunity to share our views with the audience.
Our pleasure. No, I think everyone's looking forward to this. We think have a lot of ground to cover, but very little time. So maybe before actually going to the different questions and topics that we've prepared, do you just want to give, for those very few listeners out there that don't know who MV Credit are, a quick intro?
Absolutely. We have more than 20 years of a track record in investing in European private credit. We have one of the longest established private credit management teams in the industry. As of today, we manage about 5 billion euro of European private corporate credit in subordinated and senior direct lending and in broadly syndicated loans. And these investments are structured either via single client or pooled vehicles or via CLO. And as an autonomous Natixis affiliate, we benefit from the financial backing of a very strong balance sheet with the extra layer of governance and access to a global network of investment and distribution talent. So,
very good. So let's go straight into the sometimes a bit painful exercise of taking a look back and taking stock over the past year. So we're still relatively early in 2023. I think the memories of 2022 are still recent, sufficiently fresh. So what is your view on the past 12, maybe 18 months?
I think that things changed in February last year dramatically. In a tragic direction for a lot of people, but I think that the market sentiment turned after February 2022, and overall I think that the consensus is that it was a tough year for fundraising. I think institutional investors saw the value of their listed assets fall, which led to the infamous denominator effect. The worry that we will see similar revaluation, a downward revaluation of private assets, to be honest, I don't think that has realized yet to the extent that it was a worry, at least not in the private credit or specifically the portfolios I know best, our portfolios. I think that the less public aspect of the sentiment last year, until of course the UK defined benefit pension crisis hit, I think the less public aspect has been the liquidity risk of institutional and maybe also other type of investors. And that is the risk of not meeting cash obligations, benefit payments, variation, margin calls, etc. And I think that a lot of investors sat back on cash, which for a change offers some maybe positive nominal returns, and being just better insulated against potential liquidity issues. So I think both of these factors muted fundraising activities last year. However, I think for MV Credit, we still finished the year on a high note. We successfully closed our fifth subordinated debt fund and successfully deployed about 1.5, 1.6 billion of capital in both subordinated and senior debt.
Yeah, not too bad at all. So that was last year. Now, let's maybe take a look ahead. Let's pull out our crystal ball and see what the future holds. What do you expect the next 12 to 18 months bring?
as far as the market goes, we're out at the mercy of the markets. I think market conditions for private credit specifically are improving. I believe that this year we are beginning to see better compensation for the risks in the asset class, so better compensation for the credit risk, which is the dominant risk in private credit. As a floating rate asset class, default rates, interest rate risk is not an issue. It's actually an attractive feature of the asset class. Credit risk, we see better margins, better returns for the risk taken. And also as fundamental credit investors, we are, maybe credit is very well positioned and we have long track record of managing credit risk and default. And our history shows that much lower realized loss rates than the market in general. On the overall market, I also see that public finance becomes more scarce. We also see banks being less active in the space. And more and more companies are seeking capital from direct lenders, which also shows in a repricing of risk. So all in all, on the market side, we see that this is a very exciting investment environment, and positioning this 2023 as a good entry point, a good vintage for setting us for strong performance in the future.
Very good. Fingers crossed that indeed the rest of 2023 will turn out as you hope. Maybe with having kind of had that general overview of things, maybe you can get a little bit more granular on some of these topics. On a regulatory side, there are obviously quite a number of developments that regularly pop up. One of the items that's always high on people's agendas and our three favorite letters, so ESG. We couldn't have a discussion without at least discussing partially on this topic. So in terms of where you as an organization are, ESG, SFDR strategy, is that a big component of how you're looking at things, how you're structuring products, what you're discussing with investors, or, you know, is it more a compliance issue? You have to deal with it, but at the end of the day, it's not something that's keeping you up at night.
Quite the opposite, actually. We have a long-standing commitment to ESG, and this commitment has been evident for some time prior to any regulations, recent regulations, which have set the standards. We have been managing conviction-based exclusion lists since the firm was founded in 20, more than 20 years ago. We are very early signatories of the UNPRI principles, the task force for climate financial disclosures, the investor agenda. We have been integrating ESG factors in our investment decision making process since 2017 already, and what the recent regulation has brought is maybe further developing that from that base, further formalizing the processes and procedures, but mostly having more standardized disclosure of our investment approach and aligning ourselves with the SFDR requirements. So we've had a very solid base. Our thinking has always been that as stewards of our investment money, investors' money, we have the fiduciary duty to provide the best possible outcome, to evaluate all the potential risks. So this has been always our starting point, we see it just as a robust risk management process. Also, I think maybe more recently we have, if anything, we have become more active in engaging not only with the sponsors but with also with our investee companies. We are becoming private lenders in general, but also MB Credit. We're becoming more and more important stakeholder in these businesses, and we have the opportunity to put ESG on the agenda of the company management. We only work with sponsors actually who share our values, and combining forces with the equity owners and the management, we're taking a more synchronized approach how to support these companies on their ESG journey.
Very good. No, I think that's obviously a very, very positive trend. I'm thinking that a lot of your investors and investees are happy to hear. Maybe slightly shifting gears, still within a very, or staying within the hot topics zone of the discussion for today, but looking at it from a slightly different perspective. So the other big buzzword currently is obviously retailization or democratization. You hear that quite a lot. How does that impact your thinking in terms of structuring products, in terms of looking maybe at new investment vehicle types? Is that a sphere that, you know, you're looking to tap into, you've already tapped into? What are your plans around kind of looking more closely at the retail market?
I wouldn't specifically speak of the retail market. I would speak in general about the solutions we offer to our investors, and including the retail market. So our thinking has been maybe our starting point has been accessibility and flexibility of solutions. So in addition to running managing board vehicles, we have always offered solutions meeting specific needs of different type of investors, among others, family offices or big, starting from big institutional investors to smaller institutions who have specific structuring or liquidity needs. And maybe one thing to highlight here is that we are among the first European private credit managers to structure in partnership with another Natixis affiliate, Lumis Sales, an open-ended vehicle which combines liquid and illiquid credit, which allows the investors the ability to gradually build up their diversified private credit exposure while also offering them some liquidity. And this is a good example of how we approach client needs, how we approach the design and the delivery of these bespoke solutions, and in try to keep it also in a cost-effective and accessible way. This has been an exciting new, I think, development for us, and we see quite a lot of interest, not only from the mass market DC pension fund for whom this one was developed, but also for a wider range of investors who need that access to private credit with some liquidity. This vehicle operates on a daily NAV subscription basis rather than on a commitment basis. Or capital call basis. We have lower, of course, capital threshold requirement. We avoid the timing of the market or the vintage issue. And the investors can effectively gain immediate access into a well-diversified portfolio of private credit rather than operate on a capital call situation where potentially deploying capital and having a cash drag on their money. We also one of the first one to partner with the platform allowing our product to be available to retail investors with lower minimum requirements. And we have also a solution for a Spanish private bank which gives them access to European subordinated credit. So these are just examples of solutions we find to meet client needs.
Very nice. So indeed, some very good examples of thinking outside of the box. Just to finish, maybe because it's obviously an adjacent topic, and without going, you know, into the depths of all the different legislative evolutions, but ELTIF is obviously another topic that is very much on people's agendas nowadays. ELTIF 2, which will be entering into force and available as of next year, is that something that you have been looking into more closely, or is it, you know, somewhere on the to-do list but not maybe the highest priority?
Obviously, it's a very fresh development. It looks like one more attractive vehicle, making the asset class potentially more accessible. We're currently looking with interest at how we can utilize it to meet our clients' structuring needs. But in general, this is just adds to the toolbox available in Luxembourg and in Europe. And I think that the Luxembourg toolbox is already quite generous and flexible. I think that the asset class has grown here. Luxembourg domiciled fund, private credit funds have mushroomed. And I think that that shows how the environment here, the whole ecosystem, supporting ecosystem is suitable and welcomes the private credit investors.
Indeed. That almost brings us to an end of this podcast. Maybe just to round things off, I mean, you've talked about your general outlook for the future. Are there any specific plans or ideas in the works within your organization that you want to or can share?
I think that we already touched. I think that we have solid position as in ESG expertise. We develop new initiatives. We have implemented, for example, ESG carry in our strategies. Also, we're working quite a lot on sustainability linked notes loans, where we have ESG KPIs ratchets on the loans we offer to our investee companies, and also on the accessibility. We are happy to work with new partners on that front and offer further solutions there, maybe combining all these skills, and have good exciting projects on the ocean space.
Indeed, it doesn't sound like you will get bored anytime soon, so that is great. Listen, we're up on time. Thanks so much for being with us today, Biljana, and for sharing your thoughts and views. I certainly enjoyed this discussion very much. I hope our listeners did too. And thank you so much for being with us today.
On behalf of the MV Credit team, I appreciate the opportunity and thank you for your time and interest.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We hope you found it interesting. If you would like more information about our private debt expertise, we invite you to visit our website, www.arendt.com. If you don't want to miss our latest episode, please feel free to subscribe to our podcasts available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.